The last Canadian warship lost in the Second World War was torpedoed by a German U-boat just outside Halifax Harbor on this day in 1945. The story of HMCS Esquimalt and the men who died just 3 weeks before the end of the war is a tragic one. Today's anniversary will be marked by commemorative ceremonies in Halifax and in the ship's home port of Esquimalt, B.C. Well-known maritime musician Scott McMillan and his son, filmmaker Ian McMillan, are in Victoria, B.C. this morning. Scott's father, Lieutenant Commander Robert McMillan, was the commanding officer of HMCS Esquimalt. He survived the disaster along with 26 other men. 44 crew members, however, did not. Both Scott and Ian are using their considerable creative energies to acknowledge the tragedy in music and in documentary film, and we've reached them in Victoria. Good morning, Scott and Ian.
Good morning, Costas. Good morning.
Thank you very much for getting up so early on the West Coast to take our call. Scott, let's start with you. Did your father ever talk much about the sinking of the Esquimalt?
Just a little bit. You know, the stories would come out in the evening when my mother and father would sit in the kitchen after having a couple of rums, and that would get the tongues going. And yes, he would talk a little bit about it, but not really that much. When I was so young, you know, I didn't really realize the devastation of what it was. It was a story that I had heard from being a very young child, a little bit all the time kind of thing.
Now, at what point did the full import, I guess, of that sinking and that tragedy, at what point did it really strike you?
It struck me a little later on. I suppose in some ways after my father died. He died in 1977. Then my mother actually received a pension through the Navy after his death. So there was quite a bit of talk about it afterwards. Then I started to realize how much of a tragedy it was.
Now, our audience, I think, knows you as a composer of plenty of pieces of popular and classical music. You're involved in jazz, just about anything musical, including that lovely Celtic Mass for the Sea. At what point did you start to consider the tragedy of the Esquimalt as a potential subject for a composition?
I guess I can say that years ago, my mother, she passed away on exactly the 50th anniversary of the sinking of the ship to the day she died. And it kind of brought me to attention about, it's, you know, doing something about it. It's been one of these family things that we felt kind of unresolved about, and it's something, some kind of a statement I'd like to say. And then when my mother, she died at 2 a.m. on April 16th, 1995, which was exactly 50 years. And it kind of brought me to attention about it.
So where do you begin the process?
Well, the first thing I do is I gather whatever source material I can get. And what I call source material, in this case, I want to interview directly any of the people that were involved that day of the sinking and just get their sentiments, their memories, their words recorded. And just have that as the beginning of the feeling of the music.
How many of the survivors are still alive?
I believe there are two. There's one that we'll be interviewing today. His name is Joe Wilson. I don't have the name of the other man, but he's not well, and he's pretty well bedridden. He's over 90.
Now, Ian, you're approaching the story not musically, but through, I guess, another creative prism, the lens of a documentary filmmaker.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting how the whole thing started. It was just kind of a conversation about Dad's interest in composing the piece of music, and I think it was just when I was home over Christmas that we started talking about the possibility of me following him around with the camera and coming out and trying to get everything archived on film as well.
Has anyone else done any documentaries on the sinking of the Esquimalt?
I'm not sure if there's been anything done specifically about the story of the sinking. I believe that the Esquimalt has been the subject of certain shows about, like, searching for wreckage and things like that, but I'm not exactly certain. Some of the men we're going to be interviewing today, we were talking with them yesterday, and they told us that here in Victoria, 20 years ago, there was a major CBC, like, contingent here to watch the service.
Had you heard much about the story growing up?
I knew about it. Unfortunately, I've never had the chance to meet my grandfather, so I would have never gotten stories from from him. So it was always kind of like something more historical, something that I didn't really feel attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything I would have heard, it would have kind of just almost been like a fable, you know? I just wouldn't have really registered it.
Well, what's it like to work with your father in this way?
Well, it's something that we've never really done before. We've always kind of talked about whatever we were doing, but never really done it together. So it's exciting that way. I think the way that I'm kind of looking at the film is a way to both commemorate my grandfather and my father for that, like at the same time. Because, you know, he's here composing a piece, and I'd love to record and archive his creative process, as well as keeping that within the frame of a story about my grandfather. So I think it's really interesting to be able to watch my father work as well, and as both of us kind of discover more about the story, we can talk, and we have been talking a little bit about where he's going with the music.
So when will we get a chance to see the documentary?
Well, it's going to have to wait until at least April 16th, 2008, because that is, I believe, the premiere date of my father's piece, and so I'd like to get that as a final wrap-up, so probably next summer.
Now, Scott, I understand you plan to name your composition Within Sight of Shore?
Yes, indeed.
How close was it to the approaches of Halifax Harbor that it was torpedoed?
Well, there was an article written by a man named Robert Fisher, and he wrote this article in 1997, where he gathered a lot of data from various sources within D&D, and he titled his article Within Sight of Shore. It just seemed totally appropriate for the piece of music to have that as a title. I haven't been able to track down Robert Fisher. I've wanted to include him in my people to interview, but I can't seem to find the man. But maybe he might be listening to us as we're speaking today, and he might give me a phone call.
Good enough. Fair enough. But it is still so hard to contemplate, so close to the end of the war, so close to home and
yes,
safety.
Yeah, and there's a long story of how it all happened, and we'd have to do several interviews to do that. But really what I'm going to be concentrating on the music is pretty well just the incident itself and the courage and the determination of the men to stay alive in the water and just the emotional side of being there that day is really at this point in time where I'm thinking of going with it. And in a final movement, how it's affected me as a person and how I've, you know, dealt with it my own way as I was brought up. And now with Ian with me, it really puts even a more longer and deeper emotional side to it. And I'm just going to see what happens after we get the interviews and see how those things affect me.
Now, the Celtic Mass for the Sea included choral portions. Will there be choral, or will this be strictly instrumental?
Well, there's words to be said, and whether it's a group of singers, a group of speakers, or a solo singing voice, I don't know yet. However, that there are words, there are names of people. There was a poem that Ian had written when he was quite young, and he gave it to my mother. This is long after my father died, and my mother was really taken by it. Ian was only in grade 2 or 3. He's a very young child. And that could be there as a small text. I don't really know yet, but the idea of a spoken voice, it seems to come back to be a part of the piece.
Well, thank you both for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much, Costas.
Best of luck with the project.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Scott McMillan is a Halifax-based composer, and his son Ian, a graduate of Screen Arts course of the Nova Scotia Community College, is in his fourth year of film studies at Concordia University. Now, we mentioned Scott's Celtic Mass for the Sea with the libretto by Jennifer Brickenden. Here's a selection from it. This is Introit.